Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pixel Chicken Podcast. I am your host, Stryker, and to my right,
hey,
is River.
Hey, yo, I got the hookup.
He's got the hookup. Phil is to my left. Phil does not have the hookup.
Hey, yo,
don't
Phil,
have the hookup.
Oh, Philip's a bitch.
Yeah, River, how you doing?
I'm doing super all right.
Just okay. Yeah. It started out like you said super. I thought you were going to say just super.
I'm doing bad. Super bad.
I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. Not feeling the pressure yet.
I won't be alive next week.
Oh, Jesus,
I'm
man.
Just calling it.
You just, like, that's your premonition or you're going to make it happen?
Make it happen.
Okay.
Super bad week. Really pushed me to a breaking point.
Yikes. I'm sorry to hear that.
All culminated with Phil being a motherfucker and being late today.
Goddamn.
Phil. And then spoiling Metal Gear Solid for no fucking reason.
You know you're going to fight Liquid Snake.
No, I don't!
That's what Eli is.
It's like right there.
The fuck are you doing?
Everybody
Stop.
Knew it.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be gone this week, and I'm not, so I just want to... I lied to everybody. I'm sorry. Phil,
sorry.
Listen. I want to know about your first week in school. How did it go?
Apparently it's...
I don't give a fuck, Phil!
Okay, it's really good. I got a pretty good schedule. River does not look happy.
He's alright, man. Just keep going.
I'm sorry, River.
I got fucking fired today, and you do this?
No way.
Why do you think I was here earlier?
No, you didn't get fired today.
I fucking did.
Okay, well, anyway, my week was great.
Mine wasn't, so fuck off.
Did he get fired? Stryker, did he get fired?
Phil, just tell me about your fucking
Jesus. You know what? My week was good. I started my strength training class. I'm doing typography, too.
What kind of exercise is that?
So, basically, 50% of graphic design is...
I get it.
Yes.
All right.
So your strength training class, that's going to help.
So yesterday, it's actually just like one class in the whole day from like, I don't know, 9:30, 8:30 to 9:50. And I just started kind of experimenting with like what kind of equipment I want to use. That's what he really wants us to do. And I'm really excited about it.
Phil, I want nothing more than for you to get as big as Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Me too. You would make a good Brock Lesnar.
He would.
Brock Lesnar 2.
You'd make a good huge.
You would make
like
a good huge.
Yeah. Oh, a big.
A big.
Yeah.
One of the bigs you see at the gym.
Yeah, one of the three bigs mm-hmm. that lift obscenely.
One of the three bigs are at a gym at any time. Mm-hmm. This is true.
Yeah.
Very true. River, what have you been up to? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Metal Gear, which I'm going to stop now because I just fucking know everything now.
Everybody knew that before the game came out.
I knew he was in it, I just didn't know that you were going to, like, anyway.
Okay. I didn't know... What are you fucking talking about? Everyone knew it.
Who
the fuck is Eli?
You remember the trailer, right?
No.
The short, blonde, long-haired kid. Who do you think that was going to turn out to be, man?
I don't know who the fuck that is. I've missed a lot, then.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Why are you talking to me like I'm a goddamn idiot, first of all?
I Shalashask.
I'm not talking to you like you're a goddamn idiot. I'm just saying I'm sorry.
Phil, stop apologizing like
you're Phil, a stop making
Canadian.
This real.
Okay.
I'm not that upset.
You're not fired, right?
No!
Okay, good. That's all that matters.
No, dude.
Glad you still have your job.
I've been playing Metal Gear Solid. Mostly just Metal Gear Solid. I haven't had a lot of time to play, but I did play a little something called The Beginner's Guide that I would like to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about it, and then we'll get into the
news.
Yeah,
get into some
news,
but since this is pertinent, I think. This is a new release. It came out from... You guys hear about about the Stanley Parable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philip,
I don't know much about it, but I know
it's basically,
I hear it all the time.
Break it down.
It was, you woke up in an office and there was no one there, and the thing that did it, it used play, like, it used the player's actions against them. So the designers predicted what you were going to do and suggested what to do, mm-hmm. but then
use those suggestions to flip it around you and cause, like, so say there's, like, a door, mm-hmm. like, lit up, just, you know, that's how usually game designers, like, indicate that this is where you need to go, mm-hmm. and then they're, like, there's this disembodied voice narrating, basically, kind of breaking the fourth wall, talking to you directly. It's a very cerebral thing. It's very mm-hmm. just, like, using the players. But anyways, that was this guy's last thing. This new one is called The Beginner's Guide, and it's, at the core of it, it is an exploration, a narrated exploration through a game developer's journey from indie, the very start of a game developer's learning to the end of when he last made a game. So you go through, it's this narrated, like, almost like art museum, and the narrator takes you through, it's about an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm. And the narrator takes you through all these, like, he says, okay, this is this guy's first game, and then he talks about it, and you start seeing these themes in his games, mm-hmm. and the narrator starts to, it's kind of goes with the, I don't want to spoil too much, I want to be really kind of sensitive to this, but, like, you start getting the sense that there's more to the connection between the designer and the narrator than there is, and then, you know, stuff happens to mm-hmm. show you, but it's just this incredibly interesting concept of walking through these different games and seeing, like, you see a logical progression of, like, he started with this and then he started getting better. He started focusing more on art and design, so you see, you reflect that in the game, and then, or he started working on mechanics, and it's one of the most, to sum it up, it's one of the most unnerving and, like, uneasy things that I've ever experienced in any kind of game, but it's also has moments where it's, like, beautifully serene and, like, the most very disarming, and makes, there was one point where I almost was almost, it was several points, it was incredibly impactful. Like, some of the cadence of it and the way that it flowed and the way that you saw, like, you could extrapolate a story of this person's life from the different designs that they showed you. And you could see kind of the progression of this person through his life in the games that were being presented to you.
The psychological journey of a character.
Of a game design. No, because
you... Yeah, of a game designer.
Yeah, the character was the game designer. You never knew this, and you were only learning about him through his games.
Yeah, that's absolutely mind-boggling.
So what exactly does the, like, moment-to-moment gameplay look
like? The moment-to-moment gameplay is, it's a first-person game. You walk around.
Okay.
Sometimes you have something in your hand, sometimes you don't, depending on what game you are. But it opens up to a black screen and a narrator going, "Hi, my name is this and this. I want to show you about some of my friend. His name is Coda. He was a game designer. I really liked his game. I want to show you some of them in hopes that it would reach him and cause him to make games." And then they throw you into, like, DE Dust 2, like from Counter-Strike. And you're just walking around, and he's like, "This is the first thing Coda ever made. It was a mod for a Counter-Strike map." You're walking around, and he's talking about it, and you're just walking around. Like, okay, let's fast forward a little bit. And then the screen goes black, and it just says this game was made this time. And he's like, "I want to show you a different game." And it just goes to a completely different thing.
That sounds incredibly... that sounds really appealing for some reason.
It's the most... It's $8 on Steam right now, and it's an hour and a half.
I might just do that. I might jump in.
Yeah. And the place that the story goes makes you... Seriously, there were times when I was like, this is one of the most, like, uneasy, like, unnerving feelings I've ever felt. And there's other times when I'm just like, man, this is the most disarming, like, serene, beautiful, like, I'm just happy seeing this. And, like, seeing where this guy's, like, where this guy's life has taken him, that he would make something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start to draw, like, it deals in a lot of symbolism, and there's a lot of subtext to these things, but... The narrator does a good enough thing of explaining the symbolism, or at least what he thinks is the symbolism, in a way that's not ham-fisted and doesn't force feed you symbolism, but kind of leads you there. But then stuff happens. Obviously, there's more to it than this. This is, I don't want to spoil, but it goes in some really interesting places, and at the end,
It's just like, holy shit, I didn't...
So it tells the story of the developer through the games he has worked on and the narrator.
Yes.
That is incredible.
Yeah. It's the most unique experience I've ever had, ever, in... Have you... So there's actually... That makes me think of this YouTube video I saw years ago, and it's about... It's kind of basically the progression, the psychological journey of an animator, and... Basically, he goes more and more insane as these animations go on. And it's just... That's what it harkens me back to, is just... It doesn't say anything about the creator of what you're watching up until the very end, where it all starts to come together, where you know that the person that's making this is like, going insane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what... That's basically my best way of understanding it. And I think that's...
It's much like that, is that you get the story of this person, and it... The tables start to turn at a point in a way. It's... I can't say anything more about it without really giving away any of the, like, nuances of the story that you're told. But it's really...
You're much better at that, too.
It's something... Well, no. It's just something that is... It's very nuanced. It's very... I think it's very well done. There's certain parts...
Did you finish it, by the way?
I did, yeah. Okay. It was an hour and a half. It's a very curated thing. Like, it will take you about an hour and a half. I mean, just depending on how long you walk around. But if you walk around... And, you know, just walk, keep walking, and keep doing it. It'll take you an hour and a half. But it's just, there's times when I think that the narrative that's being told is a little, I guess, predictable, but I think that's to the end goal.
Okay.
Purposeful. I think that a lot of it, when you see the end, there's times where you could look at what's happening in the design right now and say, oh, this is happening because it's so dark. But when you realize what happens at the end,
keep talking.
No, I'm not gonna keep talking. I'm gonna let this stew. When you realize when you see the end and what happens, everything kind of wraps around and makes sense as to why it would go in the direction it is.
So maybe at the time it felt a little bit
like that. At the time I was like, okay, like this isn't very, like this isn't, like why did the writer all of a sudden get lazy? Gotcha. But then you realize it's very layered. It's very layered. So, okay. You could run it on your Mac.
I could, but I've also got all these art programs on there, and
I don't know why the fuck that matters.
Because it
would give you a virus. MacBook
is already choking as it is.
Dude, it would raise your Comcast bill. All this stuff. Anyways, that's called the beginner's guide.
That sounds really interesting.
Yeah,
I honestly think I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I'd love.
I don't know why I keep saying do it. Like it's
I mean, it's $8. It's an hour and a half, and it's incredibly like. It's just like, it's for people like us who clearly like actually care about this medium. I think it's an important thing to see.
Cool. Would you call it an art house video game?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Sounds like
I think everything this guy's made is an art house video game. Like it's in league with like Gone Home and Dear Esther and all that kind of stuff. You know, these 2 hour long kind of just more narrative driven. I think this one
almost it's almost its own genre of outside of being a video game.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I would call this a video game. I'd call it more of an interactive, like, story, like, that kind of thing. Because it's not
a whole nother beast.
But I think this one is the one that if I were to say, like, hey, go play one of this style of thing, I think this would be the one by a long shot. I mean, Gone Home definitely has a cool story to tell, and the way that it's told is pretty cool. But this one does the most of turning everything on its head and really delivering something that I feel has never... telling a story in an interesting way and telling an interesting story.
And it really, it fucks with you. You've convinced me.
Yeah, good.
Let's just move on from there to the other new releases.
Yeah.
So this week there was two new releases that I wanted to talk about. The first one I want to talk about, I'll go into now just because it kind of is along the same lines. It's a Steam game. It's called Jotun.
Okay, and you were telling me about this.
Yeah, I just wanted I'll show you guys real quick while I'm kind of explaining it so you can kind of see. Because if somebody explained it to me, I wouldn't really understand what they were saying. And
that's all right.
They wouldn't really understand what I was. I wouldn't really understand what they were saying, just because it's a very unique game and the perspective and art style and everything.
Yeah.
But basically, it's kind of like a very animated and really cool artistic style of a game. It's like an adventure game where you play as this woman.
Is it like a Metroidvania style game or
not really? It seems like it's more of a sort of a linear experience. Okay. To me. At least that's my impression that I got from it.
Yeah.
More
like a Limbo style
thing? Yeah, kind of like that.
And is it 2D?
It is 2D. Okay. It has a kind of a weird, it's almost like an isometric perspective.
Okay.
Anyway, the point is you have like these...
Oh.
Yeah, you go around these like giant areas, and that's part of the perspective that I think is really cool.
Okay, yeah.
Is you are such a small part of the world, and this part right here that I'm showing you isn't really showing it off very well, but for anybody that wants to check it out, it looks really cool. There's some parts that play with scale a lot better than this does, and every single boss that
I've seen... I love the way this looks.
Yeah. Every single boss is huge. Like these towering, I'm hoping I can skip ahead and show
it. It reminds me of, like almost like Disney animation.
Yeah, they're like, there you go. Like that's a boss. Like these bosses, and they're all taken from Norse mythology, but played with in interesting ways. Her name is Thora. She was named after obviously Thor. And you play as her, and it's got supposedly got a great score. Like the music is supposed to be amazing, and
I love. Yes.
Yeah, I just love how the scale looks to me. Like that's just so appealing, and the worlds are really unique. I've seen like some
hand drawn.
Yeah, I believe so.
Or some, you know, is that what they're some form of, trying to evoke? Is a hand drawn?
I believe it is hand drawn. Yeah, that's what I've gotten my indication. Like that part right there. Look at how like the scale there is just amazing.
That's gorgeous.
I kind of feel like at the end of...
It almost reminds me of like a Zelda, a classic-style Zelda game.
That's a good comparison. I feel like in games, there was a certain period of time for games, maybe like the mid-2000s, where there's a lot of interesting games playing with scale, like in the 2000s.
God of War.
Shadow of the Colossus. Mm. Games like this, they were playing with scale in really interesting ways, and in...
Black.
More or less.
Explosions.
Yeah.
I guess destructible environments.
Guns.
But I feel like they kind of got away from that. And they were onto some really interesting things. Just, I mean, a sense of scale is something in a game that really just draws me into the
industry. Yeah, I mean, think about... You played the God of War games, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about the first time you see Ares, you know, destroying Athens. Like,
that's
just
a good point.
It's like...
Yeah.
There's... It and, you know, certain games, you know, just do it, and, you know, Uncharted does it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God of War does it. You know, like, there's... I don't know why more games don't, like, use... If not, like, huge things, like, use camera, like, work. Like, you can... I know this one game called Nier, and it wasn't super... A super fantastic game, but it had some really cool parts. But like, I just remember this one scene where you're approaching this this temple, and it's in the middle of a it seems really big. It's almost a reverse kind of thing, but it seems really big when you're up to it. But then I remember as you walk closer to it, it would have seemed like if the camera had stayed, it would have seemed like the thing was getting bigger, obviously, because you're getting closer. The camera zoomed way the fuck out, like way out. and you were basically like a pixel, and you could just see yourself walking towards this tiny temple. I don't know what it was, but it was such an like a powerful, like it was just use your camera more sometimes, yeah. And like you know, like actually show scale and actually show your world and give your world some sense of like. Yeah, like depth and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah,
like camera work and stuff like that can make just a very striking
it presence. Plays on... I feel like it's kind of like a human nature to enjoy things like that. I mean, when you think of certain movies, like the cinematography and stuff, mm-hmm. it's always those...
Attack on Titan.
Those shots where, like in a movie... I'm trying to think of a good example and it escapes me, but... yeah.
When the fucking street bends.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, just movies where they have these shots that show how small the protagonist is. It gives you the sense that they have a less meaningful impact on the world than maybe you feel in most games.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting thing because in most games, it's all about you and what you're doing right there, and the world takes second stage to that. I mean, it's not as important. So when games do interesting things like this one, you feel like it's all a part of the world that you're trying to be that they're trying to portray. So
that's a really great point.
I think it's really interesting, and that's what drew me to this game. It immediately looked interesting to me, and I want to play it. I'm excited. It's like $13.99 or something like that.
So it's on pretty PS4 cool. and stuff.
I don't think so.
I want to buy a fucking PS4 so bad.
I want you to, really.
God
bad.
Damn it, dude.
Don't sell this time.
Shut the fuck up, Phil. Sorry. I know. God damn it, you prey on my weaknesses.
I'll let you borrow all my games as soon as you get a PS4. Even the ones I'm playing.
Good. I just want to play Bloodborne and Destiny. That's all I goddamn want to play is Bloodborne and Destiny.
I need to bring Phillip. You that copy of Until Dawn.
You do. You owe. I'm going to take it.
Yeah. He's going to take it to Disneyland.
I'll play it, trade it in. Get something nice.
Get something new.
Thanks, man.
And then you get Lord of the Fallen. Yeah. I'll come over, snap the disc in half.
Yeah. And then I'll let Phil borrow the case.
Yeah.
Cool. I love looking at cases.
So the other new game...
Did you ever, when you went on long road trips back in the N64 days, bring game manuals with you?
Oh,
because you wanted to play games so bad that you...
I think so.
Sometimes... I did this every single fucking time. Every time I was about to go on a road trip, I knew that I was going to be playing games forever. So I just got all of my manuals from my N64 games and just read them.
That's hardcore.
Oh, dude.
I loved reading manuals while I pooped more than anything.
Oh, God.
Was there anything better
than that? There wasn't anything better, dude. I learned how old the characters in my Final Fantasy games were.
Yes!
Hundreds of times.
Learned their blood types for some reason.
I learned that they were all... I learned their blood types. I learned that they were all 17 and 18 years old and going through more shit than I have ever experienced. Man. This motherfucker is 16 years old and he led a goddamn army against a whole other army.
That's a good point.
And he didn't fucking freak out and write. Actually, he kind of did, but whatever.
Why do you need to know their blood types?
Like, why? In case they need a transfusion.
Like, I don't care about Kazuya's blood type.
Why?
Dude? Well, you're going to know it.
You're gonna goddamn know it.
You are going to know it.
When he throws you into a volcano.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So the other new release...
Hold on! Sorry, I just learned that King is not a tiger man.
He's a leopard.
He's not. He's a fucking wrestler with a mask on.
Oh, I knew
that. You didn't know that? Fuck you, Philip! You keep talking like
I didn't know Eli was Liquid Snake, and you didn't know King was a wrestler. He's a luchador, right?
I know. I fucking understood what he was, but I thought he was a goddamn leopard man wrestler. I didn't know he was just a man wearing a fucking mask.
Okay.
Okay.
That's an easy thing to...
The thing is Kuma, Mokujin, all these
in
weird...
In the series, his mouth moves and stuff, so it doesn't appear to be a mask.
Fuck you, Philip. I knew he ran an orphanage or whatever the goddamn it he did.
He did. He was his inspiration was from a Japanese wrestler called Tiger Mask. There's been four of them.
I just really wanted him to be a tiger man.
He does roar.
Does roar.
I know. I just always wanted him to be like a man with just a really realistic tiger head.
And he has a tail too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. He does.
I like Armor King.
Armor King's great.
So the other game that got released this week is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5.
Yes, and I hear it's super glitchy.
Is it super glitchy or just fucking shitty?
It is super glitchy too. I found that out. I've watched an obscene amount. I've watched more footage than I probably would play if I had the
probably
game. But
I've watched a lot of it too. One of the main things that bothers me. Well, first of all, I think the levels look like they're all level created levels. I don't think they look like authored Tony Hawk levels.
They look super bland.
They look super bland and empty.
I've heard that, and I've heard that complaint. So you're not, that's not
they just look, they specifically look like they were levels created in a level creator.
Yeah.
They don't look like how in Tony Hawk, how it was a city, but it was all these lines like you were, you know, that were naturally in the city and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. These just look like kind of like a place with like ramps. They look like prefabbed.
They really do. They look like just a big square grid that they were like, okay, drop a ramp in here and here, and here's a rail.
Yeah.
And the other part of it, there's so many things about it that are upsetting, but as a whole, the most important thing that bothers me about it is it doesn't have the care and the creativeness of any of the previous Tony Hawk games.
Oh.
Outside of maybe there's some of the like Wii ones that I never played, but it doesn't
ride.
Daniel
Jam. Well, they were made by Robomoto, who made this one. So
that's a good point. So the other thing is, that's like the most surprising is some of the levels, like the way that they are set up, they don't run together well. So I've watched like a bunch of gameplay, and like this ramp will go up onto like a rail that you can't get to unless you go to another ramp. So you're just like these weird layouts that don't run together. And that was one of the things that was always so good about it, is they were crafted so that you could pull off these just insane combos.
You know, and the lines were, you know, and there were lines everywhere. You could always jump from one rail to another, but the thing is they also felt organic.
Yeah.
Like they did, they felt like they fit into this world that they had created and not just like were another rail for no fucking reason.
Like the school in Tony Hawk 1.
Yeah.
Felt like it was just a school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was a level in a game.
Exactly, yeah.
It felt like it was a school that they put in the game and maybe added a few ramps to or something. Yeah. It was like, okay, I could, you know, I wonder
if I could see this being a school.
Yeah. But man, so that's the biggest complaint I have, and that trickles down into a bunch of different areas.
There's a bunch of small things. They didn't understand what made Tony Hawk so special.
Yeah.
And what made it work. They didn't like understand the fundamental, like the basics of Tony Hawk. Like just I don't know if you've seen like how, well, first of all, it starts in that weird like free skate with a bunch of people, but then to go to a challenge, you have to go to the challenge. It loads into a solo instance of the same map, which is first of all weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then to restart, you have to go to the restart, and then there's a whole loading thing. How I don't know.
Way too many loading screens.
Way too many loading screens. And it takes too long. Like in Tony Hawk, there were so many challenges that you knew you failed right off the bat, like mm-hmm. combo and skate and like. There's ones that you just needed to retry. And Tony Hawk, you could go, press start, press down, go to retry immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately. This one, you go down, press retry, it asks you, are you sure? Then it loads for like 5 seconds, then it gets you in, and then it loads for another 5 seconds, and then it gives you a countdown, and then you go. It's like 20 seconds each time you want to retry a thing.
Step back.
I would... mind you, I have very little knowledge about what goes into developing a game. But I would argue that this is just a poorly developed game, a poorly designed game.
And I don't know anything about, you know, game design or game development.
I know what good game design looks like.
But God damn it, I could do better than this.
Sorry, Phil, but
it's okay.
I just want to say one other thing while it's on my mind. So they have... the grind button, okay? The grind button in Tony Hawk games, as we all know, it's always triangle or Y,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they have the grind button. It's in the same place it always has. But that button also does a new technique called a slam, which is you can like you know, like slam down on the ground really, really quickly. So if you're in the air, you're trying to get down quicker for some reason, I guess, then you can hit triangle. So they put that on the same button as grind. So, and that sounds weird when you hear it, and it ends up being weird from everything I've heard from people that have played it. I haven't played it, but I've heard that there's a lot of instances where you're trying to grind on a rail, and, you know, the game, in the previous years, that was only... The button was only used for grind because it would kind of like suction you to a rail if you were close by. Well, in this one, it can't do that because you slam into the ground when you
don't. The thing is, so I understand what they were thinking. I do. Because I understand there was times when you would go over a rail and miss a rail because you jumped too far. So I understand the thing of... Oh, there's this rail I'm over right now. I'll just slam down onto it and go.
Yeah, okay. That makes
sense. That being said, they didn't understand how people played Tony Hawk, clearly. Because grinds were always connectors. And so if I were to go off a ramp, I wasn't waiting to press grind. I was doing my trick and then holding down the triangle button so I hit that grind no matter what. So muscle memory, having played these games for so long, muscle memory makes you just go, you know... kick flip and then grind, so you're going to slam down and miss your rail.
Exactly.
And it's just going to stop your combo.
Yeah, and now the thing about the game, like the as a whole, is that the idea behind it was to go back to basics, go back to what people liked about the previous Tony Hawk games and build on that. But it's like they went back and then forgot to do anything with it. Like they went back to basics, but stayed at basics.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. Like, they didn't expand on anything. They didn't make any innovations to the series that will... That are memorable.
Meaningful.
Or meaningful.
Yeah.
That's a much better term. And you think about the past series, every game had an important concept that it added to the series that stayed in the
manual,
series.
The revert. Yeah. Spine transfers, hip transfers, and stuff like that.
Different things like that. I mean, every series or every game in the series did that, and then eventually they started playing with the actual mechanics of the game and changing.
Driving a car.
Sketching, is that what it's called on the back
sketching
of
it? Sketching on cars.
So things like that.
Sticker slaps, the most important.
Sticker slaps.
Yeah.
So this game takes it back to basics, and then it doesn't add anything to the formula to make it interesting. I mean, why play this game instead of like just going back and playing Tony Hawk 3
or the thing is, those games are still fucking fantastic.
What incentive do I have to? Yeah. What does this game bring to the table that makes it better than the past?
Nothing.
Ones? Nothing.
Nothing. It's got an atmosphere song in it.
That's cool. So, the soundtrack seems all right.
Yeah,
I guess that's
on a scale from Alien Colonial Marines to The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Where'd you put this?
I can't say without playing it because
the goddamn scale is that. Is that disappointing scale?
No. Well, I could have said on a scale from, I'll say, Assassin's Creed Unity to Alien Colonial Marines.
Well, these are all
that's
games
even
that,
more confusing.
These are all games that
those are both games. That are...
Why don't you just pick a number scale?
Yeah. No, that was being a wise ass.
No, it's okay.
I just give Phil heads. That's what we.
Yeah, Phil heads. I give it one bloody half Phil head.
Oh, shit.
Out of five.
Yeah. It's bad.
It makes me sad because this is the last we'll ever see of Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
I think this was its one chance to come back, and they blew it, and now I don't think we'll see Tony Hawk again.
There was something about it before coming out.
Mind you,
sorry, was weird.
This is a $60 full-priced game. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to inject that.
I think the thing that you were feeling is that it was being run by Activision's budget team. So it used to be called Activision Budget, but now it's not. It's like something else. But that I heard reports of when people were trying to get information on it, actual Activision marketing, like their, you know, who you go for Call of Duty and stuff like that. They're like, oh, these other guys handled that. And that was the team that classically did Activision's budget titles.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a budget game.
No, it was not. It's $60.
$60.
And yeah, just even just watching, like, even watching gameplay, it just feels empty.
It
you
does.
You just get the sense
there's
that this
no
game,
heart.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no heart in this game.
Yeah, except for an atmosphere song.
Except for that atmosphere song. That lone atmosphere.
Yeah, that's the only song. It's lonely, dude.
So
whole South Side.
And to go back to the price of the game, it's a matter of. I'm not really. It's hard to judge the value of a game.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about like the game that's an hour and a half or something. That's priced well.
Yeah.
And it's $8. That makes sense. But some games are pretty short. The Order was a victim of this.
Yeah.
And in some ways I understand it. In some ways I don't agree. But this is a game that it looks like a mobile or downloadable game, and even if it was, I still wouldn't want to play it.
Yeah.
If this was a If this was a $15 downloadable title on, you know, PSN or something, yeah. I don't think I would be any more interested than I am
now. Yeah. Dude. I think $15 or maybe $10. It's a $15 game though. But that being said, the whole idea of, like, game value, like, you bring up the Order. I don't think that, like, shortness is a, like, you agree, but, like, especially with the beginner's guide, like, I paid $8 for the experience that I had.
Length does not equal value.
Yes, exactly. So, but content does.
Content.
Content equals value. Does. No content in Tony Hawk. Except for that atmosphere song.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part about it. It doesn't have even like the campaign levels and stuff like that. Like they look so patched together.
Yeah.
Like the game looks like it looks like it was a certain way the game was, and then the 0 hour they were like, okay, guys. You have to add all this shit in the game because we're going to make it $60. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everything looks like it was like, oh, well, put
guys,
that here.
Guys, put Lil Wayne in this. Fuck!
Yeah. Guys, put Octodad in this. Quick. So, it's disappointing because we all grew up loving this series. And, like you said, it's probably dead in the water at this point.
Fucking poor atmosphere, man.
They should have just called it... Why didn't they just call it Tony Hawk... You know, Tony Hawk...
Phone-in. Tony Hawk phone-in.
Yeah, they should have called it Tony Hawk phone-in.
Yeah.
You guys think that artists ever get bummed out when their song's in a game that's shitty?
Do you think Tony Hawk's bummed out that this
game is shitty? I don't know. Probably not, because he's probably still making money off of it.
Still turning a profit.
He doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't skate anymore. I don't know actually what he does anymore. They can do a Dave Mirra game.
I'd be down with that.
Thought about playing BMX XXX the other day because I downloaded it because I wanted to see some boobies. It's, you know, whatever. Didn't play it though.
Damn,
felt weird.
You should play the Jackass game.
What's that like?
I feel like that's just Tony Hawk Underground 2.
It's like that game Pain, the downloadable game. Like
that game was cool.
I loved that game.
It was so much fucking fun.
Oh my god, it was so fun.
I lost my PSN account with that game on it, and I'm still heard about it.
Oh, I still have. I wish they'd release it on PS4. I'd play it more.
I would too. Phil, you ever play Pain? It was a very early PlayStation 3.
It might have been
PSN close to the Network. Launch, yeah, it was close to launch.
It's downloadable.
Yeah.
You basically toss a ragdoll guy up.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's so much fucking fun, dude.
It was really fun. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did too. Had a lot of secrets that I liked.
Yeah, it did.
A lot of secrets.
Well, that's the new release I want to talk about. Now there's also some news, just some small news items. For one, two new Street Fighter characters.
Two new. One intentional.
One intentional. One was a leak.
Yes.
The intentional one was Zangief.
Everybody's
favorite Russian bear fighter slash wrestler.
Slash.
He looked awesome. He's got some cool new moves. He's got some new form where he turns red and gets crazy. And
I saw a gif of him doing a hit where he just turned bigger.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's like he thrust his
Where he stands up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he stands
and
he just up.
He's fucking twice as big, and for some reason, that's a hit. What is that?
I don't know what it is. I didn't read his, like, V skills and V triggers and stuff. I don't know. But two things I wanted to bring up about him.
One thing I want to bring up, still no Sagat.
Yeah, and at this point, this is the vanilla roster. Those are the last two.
Wow.
But they're gonna do a Killer Instinct style thing.
Okay.
Of you know, constant stream.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay.
Of post game content. So we'll see.
So who's the second character?
The second character, her name was Laura, and she hasn't now. There's not much information on her because she was a leak. So there was like a few screenshots and stuff. But she is a Brazilian fighter. She looks pretty cool. Her style is like Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it seems. She also has electricity powers in the vein of Blanca, who's also a Brazilian
fighter.
So you almost wonder if Blanca's she's like a
daughter.
Yeah, something like that. Like they have to have some relation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that?
Do you inherit lightning powers if your father is Blanca, or do you still have to go through a weird process to get those?
You still have to have an experiment go wrong.
I mean, if she can manage to be a hot, attractive female, I guess, you know, he can somehow pull off having a kid like that.
What are you saying?
I don't know.
I think he just... fuck did you just say?
I have
How
no
could
clue.
That be the daughter of an ugly green monster?
Well, he was human.
So yeah, he was at one point. His name was Frank Woods.
So I was kind of surprised. Zangief has no design change whatsoever.
Really?
I mean, if you saw him, he looked like he looked.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But every other character's had some sort of...
When's he Honda coming back?
I don't know. Who knows?
When's the last Street Fighter he was in?
He was in the last one. He was in
was
4.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he was fucking buff as shit.
Yeah, he had a
weird buff.
He had a fat 6.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so new Street Fighter queer characters are cool. At this point, I want the game to come out.
Yeah, when's next year, right?
Yeah, I think... I don't know if they've... Have they announced a release date, Phil? Find that out.
2016, April?
Yeah, it was early 2016, spring? Too. I thought it was like 2016? February, March, somewhere.
Yeah, there. Something like that.
Or at least that's the rumor. So, anyway, that's cool.
Yeah.
A couple of things I wanted... These are related because they're both about games... length and slash size. Tomb Raider, the developers of Tomb Raider, what is it called? Tomb Raider?
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So Rise of the Tomb Raider, March 2016. Thank you, Phil.
No problem.
What was I saying? Oh, Rise of the Tomb Raider. So the developers said that a normal playthrough, like just the story part of it, is going to take like around 20 hours. Mm-hmm. And completionist playthrough of the game is going to be around 40 hours.
That's a lot of extra shit.
That is a lot of game.
That's that's another main story's worth of side content to get done.
Yeah. Now the last game, I don't know if you guys remember when I was playing through it and last year
or earlier
this year. Yeah.
I recall.
you got the wild look in your
eyes. Yeah.
I remember being really surprised at the game's length, the first one. Like, I
kept thinking the game was...
It was of good length.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It wasn't like...
I remember you guys talking about
that. I was never bored of it either. Like, I never got to a point in that game where I was like, I just want it to end.
It kept the action coming. It kept switching it up. When you got to the weird, scary Oni people that were 700 feet tall.
Yeah, and then...
And bathed you in blood.
And I thought I was nearing the end at that point. That was
like
a third of the way
through. Halfway
through,
maybe, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff, and it was good, and it had a lot of good side content. It was never too much. It was
all the side content was really like organically like baked into the world too.
Yeah, it didn't feel forced.
It didn't feel like you were going somewhere specifically to do a side thing. It was like you were going along this story, and then all of a sudden there was something you could do, but you didn't really have to. It never felt like these were side activities. It felt like this was just something like that Lara would have done. Maybe in her situation, like, oh, there's this fucking weird...
There's scrap.
Yeah, let's go check this out for a second.
Oh, and the things that you had to shoot down, they were like these statues that people made, and they were like, I don't know, the people that took over the island did something bad with them, and you were trying to help them out. I don't remember what it was, but yeah, they all made sense in the context of the story. Right. I'm excited.
For this really like the design of that game.
I do too.
Of Tomb Raider,
it was honestly one of my favorite games.
Sleeper hit of 2011.
Yeah, it was a great
game. No one knew it came out in 2011.
Did it come out in 2011?
No, no.
Yeah, was it like 2012 or 13? Yeah,
13, I think.
Makes sense. But I'm excited for the new one. I think that it's weird that I feel like they're very like Uncharted and Tomb Raider.
I feel like from what I've seen, I guess is it a bad from all the trailers I've seen at E3, it's like I remember I tweeted it was during the E3 demo because it was like. Nothing, literally, it almost felt ridiculous, the things that were happening. Like, it was like, I said, Rise of the Tomb Raider, like, Murphy's Law Simulator 2016. Because it was just, it was like, almost ridiculous, like, the rope broke, and then it swung across, but then this happened, like, and it's almost like, almost too much. Like,
it is. And the first game was like that, too.
Yeah, I feel... Drawing, you know, similarities between this game and Uncharted, they are very similar. Uncharted does that, but does it in a much more grounded, balanced sort of way, I feel, at least.
Well, and it's not only that, but in Uncharted, it's got the comedic elements and the humor to it.
Yeah.
So when that stuff happens, it's like this grandiose hilarity.
Yeah, and it's like, are you kidding me?
He's like, oh, shit, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But in Tomb Raider, like... The game plays on you feeling bad for Lara at all points.
And Sam.
So when shit like this happens, you're like, come on.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. You're great. Chill out, Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah.
You fucking misogynist.
Yeah. I totally agree. And I felt that way in the first game to a certain extent. So,
but it'll be good. It'll be cool. There'll be some cool scenes. Some real weird deaths.
Yeah, some gross
stuff.
That makes
me feel weird inside.
Yeah, but the Tomb Raider franchise has always been notorious for having, you know, weird ways to kill Lara Croft.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You're talking about deaths. Deaths of characters or just the way Lara Croft...
Death of Lara Croft.
Yeah, there's like been all kinds of weird ways she's died.
Yeah, but not as graphic.
Oh, really? Is that bad?
Dude, have you played Tomb Raider?
I haven't played the last Tomb
There's
Raider.
There's one scene, it's the famous scene, the tree branch.
The river.
Where she's falling down a river and you have to, like, guide her through. And there's and if you don't, there's this tree branch that impales her up through the head. That's not the end, though. She struggles for 3 seconds, but you see her face, like go into panic mode, and she's like struggling to like pull her head off of this tree branch. And it's just like gratuitous violence, and it was really. It didn't match the tone of the rest of the tone of the game. The tone of the game was like grim and stuff and everything, but this was just like
gratuitous
violence for the sake of it. It was weird.
I don't feel like having these like elaborate death sequences with her add anything to the game because the story. It for one, it takes you out of the story because she's not going to die.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with a game just being like, you died.
You died.
Continue.
Yeah.
That's not a...
What's your guys' favorite death message at the end of games? I feel like...
I guess it's you died.
I feel like there's one that's been... That's like taken
There's
that
one that's thing. Really great.
Yeah, and I can't remember...
I can't remember what it is. I feel like it probably
is a PlayStation...
I feel like it's a PlayStation 2 game, probably.
I want one that just says, you dead.
You dead.
But a voice says that.
U-D-E-D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dead.
You dead.
But it doesn't spell it, it just... You,
oh, it's just says it's black screen, and it's just Shaft going...
You dead.
You dead, sucker.
So, to go back to... This is not necessarily the game's length, per se, but... The size.
More. Yeah.
So Just Cause 3 has a map that is around 400 square miles.
Listen, Phil, that's bigger than the goddamn United States.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Why?
It's like, you bring up a good point, Phil, and there's no answer to that.
Phil, the fucking whole United States.
How?
What? You can trot around a fucking... It's bigger... It's as big as... Listen, that's as big as the fucking United States and Canada.
Wait, is it... Are you...
Okay!
It's not that big.
All right. The fucking United States and Canada. Imagine how long it takes to get from here to San Diego.
Oh, God.
Imagine driving that in Just Cause.
There better be one hell of fast travel.
No, there's none, dude. So 400 square miles is, like, roughly maybe the size of Eugene, Springfield.
Yeah, it's huge, but it's not
that big. Have you played Just Cause 2?
No.
Okay.
The size
is comparable to that. Play it. It's a fun game.
I am about to play Mad Max.
I think
Mad Max is bigger.
Mad Max is huge.
I think Mad Max is technically bigger.
Is it?
I think.
It's a really big game.
Fuel is bigger.
Oh, Fuel is goddamn huge.
Fuel is like 4,000 square miles. Fuel is legitimately the size of a state.
Every time I see how big Fuel is, I'm surprised. And I've seen it like 7
times. Yeah. Yeah. So. Fuel is legitimately like if you were to drive across Oregon, like in its entirety, you would have fuel. It's pretty crazy.
Let me ask you guys something.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the pre-order
Deus Ex thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear about this, Phil?
Go ahead and elaborate.
So this was a system they had for Deus Ex. What's the new one called? Deus Ex?
Mankind Divided.
Mankind Divided. It was a system called... It was like called Augment Your Pre-Order or something like that. Mm-hmm. And basically, the pre-order bonuses changed as they got more pre-orders.
It was like Kickstarter stretch goals.
Yeah. But for pre-ordering a game. So it's not good enough for you to just pre-order the game. You have to wait for other people to pre-order the game to get the best prizes or whatever you want to... Pre-order bonuses.
Yeah.
There was a huge outrage and... they promptly put the kibosh on this whole plan, which was the best thing.
Yeah,
because it was stupid.
That's really stupid. First of all, pre-order bonuses I don't fucking care about because they never matter.
You know the best pre-order bonus that there's ever been?
What?
NBA 2K16. Play the game early.
Exactly. I think that was the last one. I think the last goal for that was like a million pre-orders or something. We release the game 3 days early.
That's so stupid.
That's fucking dumb. Just do it. Just release the game 3 days early.
Yeah.
I'm
pre-ordering the game and giving you my money before it's out, trusting you, but you're telling me that it's out of my control.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't control if other people pre-order the game. They did the right thing. They canceled this whole thing. And I don't know... What part of the prizes are actually being...
Dude, shut up. Are those blueberries?
Yeah, man.
Fuck yeah. Sorry.
Not only that, frankenberries, they're in the pantry.
God damn.
Go get your blueberries and frankenberries.
Yeah, go
they're
get
out
them.
Now.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, they're out now.
Jesus, Phil.
Game of the year.
I've never had them before. I've never had them before.
Get out.
Get the fuck out, dude.
Suck. God.
No.
You know what? Stick your goddamn head in an oven.
Hmm. All right, bro.
Don't turn it on. Just
no,
leave it in
no.
there for a while.
Turn it on.
Oh, okay.
Turn it on, let it heat up, and then shove your fucking head through the glass. God, <damn. laughs> and die.
Oh, got Jesus. It.
Sorry. Anyway.
I love you, man. You just spoiled all the games for me.
Phil, are you going to play Arkham Knight again on PC when it's released at the end of this month?
Probably not.
I'm going to play it for the first time. Well, here's the thing. I could have just downloaded it.
Yeah.
But I have it. So, go on.
So, Arkham Knight is finally being re-released on PC at the end of this
month. This is goddamn ridiculous. I think you better have it golden.
What was the original release date?
June,
I don't know.
Right? Yeah.
June something.
Yeah, it was somewhere around June. It was halfway through the summer.
It's been forever since that game launched.
Four
Everyone's
months.
Forgot about it. No one remembers Arkham Knight.
yeah. I
barely remember Witcher 3.
It baffles me. It still baffles me the state that just what happened with this.
I mean, if it's not seriously, if it's not absolutely golden,
yeah, there's gonna be a.
You think people are gonna buy it? How many people, like, I don't know. How many people still that wanted it didn't
already get it? I mean, there's got to be a select group of people that only have PCs that had no other way to play it. But mm-hmm. I think that that's probably a very small select group of people.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a very big one. I'm sure, like you said, like I did. I just ended up getting the game on PS4.
Yeah. I mean, I got it for free from my
video card thing. I did too. Thing. Okay. And then I had to buy it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I wasn't happy about.
Yeah.
That was
did you try to play it on PC?
Yeah, I did.
And it didn't work at all?
No, it worked, but it was... My problem with it was the inconsistency. Mm-hmm. I cannot play a game that dips. Like, it was somewhat consistent, but as soon as I, like, started doing the floating stuff, it would drop down to, like, 40, 30.
See, I never even fired it up.
Yeah.
So.
I'd rather play a game a consistent 30 than an inconsistent 60,
yeah.
So...
Yeah,
I was not happy about that. Arkham Knight. Oh, we talked about the Sony VR last week.
Yes, we did. The PlayStation virtual reality.
So a famous Sony franchise that a lot of people want and that has been nowhere to be seen so far this generation is Gran Turismo.
No way.
And Ridge Racer.
And Ridge
Racer? Ridge Racer!
Ooh! No way.
Unbounded 2.
Oh.
Oh. Toe Ball?
Lair.
you know they just shut down?
Really?
Level 5, is that?
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's who made it.
It's too bad.
And they shut down. They also made the Rogue Squadron games on 64.
Mm. Oh, wow.
But anyways.
It sucks.
Interesting.
Factor 5, sorry. Factor 5.
Interesting catalog.
Mm-hmm. Turn 10, shut down also. Yeah. Forza 6, they were done.
Oh. So Shuhei Yoshida came out and said, I don't know if it was in, I think it was in an interview or on Twitter, that he would like for Gran Turismo 7, mm-hmm. I believe is the, would be, Gran Turismo would be 7. The newest one.
Yeah. Prologue, though.
To use PlayStation VR, which I thought was an interesting thing.
Interesting. I don't also... Here's the thing. It's cool. It's a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know... Just we as a... You know, we don't know... To do it in VR, it's going to take processing power. Gran Turismo has always been a graphical showcase. So it leads you to believe that if it's in VR, that they're not going to be able to drive the graphical fidelity that they are known for with the Gran Turismo series.
Yeah.
In VR, since you're running off a PS4, you know, that's just the kind of the catch that I would.
This is what we go back. This is we're you know, to go back to what we spoke about last week. We don't know exactly how this thing is gonna play out. I mean, if it really is truly using the PlayStation only for its processing power, then it doesn't seem feasible to me to have actual games such as Gran Turismo or, like, the latest first-person shooter and have them just be, oh, this is VR compatible.
Yeah.
Like, you have to tailor-make games to use less processing power to make them playable in VR.
And they haven't, I mean, this late in the game, you would think they would say if there was some extra processing power.
You would think so. And I don't think there is. Yeah. I really don't.
Yeah.
And, so. You know, if they're going to have a new Gran Turismo game in VR... You know, probably the main draw would be to play in, like, in the cockpit in first person, but, you know, it would be pretty lame not to be able to drive it in third, and if the processing power of the graphics is going to be that, you know, take a few steps back, I mean, people are going to notice.
Yeah.
People will.
I like to see my goddamn cars in racing games.
I do, too. I'm like... I don't want the cockpit view. It's cool. I do it every once in a while just to, like, get a feel for it.
But... I did a lot in Forza Horizon 2 for some reason.
Mm.
I did it a lot. I pretty much exclusively played that game in cockpit view, and I started to get I mean, it's a much more visceral.
It is. I see the appeal. Yeah, absolutely. And I just like to look really, at my car.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
It could be really cool to play a really good racing game in a VR cockpit.
mode.
Then I would use it.
Yeah. Because then you could be, like, you know, actually looking around, looking at your rearview mirror, looking behind you to see who's behind you.
If I had a racing wheel, I'd probably do
it. Oh, dude. You'd be racing at that point.
Yeah. But with a controller, I feel
like... I had a racing wheel once.
Really?
Yeah.
In what generation?
360.
Nice.
Hated it.
Really?
Couldn't... I, like, didn't mount it anywhere good, so it was just... Mm.
Just loose and, yeah.
Just loose and goopy.
That'll change the game.
Cummy.
I mean, oh.
When I turned, cum came out of it. Oops.
Like, did it come like that, or no pun intended?
Nice, dude. Yeah, man. I bought it from this guy in Yugoslavia.
Oh, weird. Weird.
May have been a mistake.
Well, fuck off.
Phil, what would you say if I told you that NBA 2K16 shipped 4 million units already in its first week?
That sounds like a hell of a successful game.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Wait, really?
Yeah, shipped 4 million units. They haven't sold that yet, through, obviously, yeah.
But
that's the most in franchise history.
That's a ton of music.
Technically, yeah. It's not the biggest soundtrack, so it is a lot ton of music. I mean, you're not wrong.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I gotta say, it totally deserves it. I mean, I've only played it more since our last episode, and it is just... I mean, outside of just the NBA 2K series, it is maybe the best sports sim I've ever played. It's just incredible. Freak's doing good.
Good.
I haven't got drafted yet.
You haven't made it to the NBA.
Haven't made it to the big leagues, to the show.
Is there something weird about the facial animation in the cutscenes?
Oh, absolutely.
It really creeps me out.
Yeah, it's not...
Creeps me out.
They don't have very good facial mocap.
Yeah.
It's just not... It's not up to par with...
Very strange looking.
It's unsettling.
Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. Yeah. What was it about Uncharted? Oh, Uncharted 4. I just wanted to talk about this a little bit, just because it's cool. It was reported earlier this week that... So, Uncharted 4 got delayed, you know, mm-hmm. to March of 2016. It was originally supposed to drop this fall at some point. So, a few months.
God damn, I need a PS4.
Yeah, you do.
Fuck. Phil, can I have yours?
Nah, man.
Dude, I'll trade you
what?
My PS3.
Oh, fuck yeah!
Dude, it's one of the...
I've never owned two PS3s before.
It's one of the slim ones that slides with the slide door that feels cheap and shitty.
Shit.
Yeah, dude.
I
got Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9 on it.
I'm sold.
So, what was I going to... Oh, so, it was reported earlier this week that the reason behind the delay was so they could nail the ending.
I love it.
Okay. Okay, that's great.
When I heard that, I just... Now, Naughty Dog, honestly, outside of maybe Rockstar, is probably my favorite studio for more than just because I love the Uncharted series. Just as a studio, their attention to detail, the stories that they craft... What they put into their games.
Their integrity.
Yeah. I love them. I think they're awesome. And when I hear that, I mean, it's just like... that. In this day and age, it's really cool to hear things like that. Because...
Take your time, guys.
There's so many... Yeah, take your time. Exactly. I mean, there's so
fucking
much...
Fucking time.
There's so much stuff going on nowadays that's like...
Take your fucking time.
That's, you know, not good for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And strictly from a business standpoint, trying to make the most money and cash grabs and... games being released in poor condition. And I like to hear a game that will delay simply for the fact that they weren't satisfied with the story, not necessarily performance things. Maybe those were there too, but with the story that they had put together.
Sony publish that? Is that Sony publish
Uncharted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naughty Dog games. Okay. A lot of, I mean,
Naughty Dog is still a Sony-owned studio.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff, honestly, just, you know, comes down to a publisher at that point. So, yeah.
You know, I think it is they're working on the big twist. Cortex.
What?
Crash Bandicoot villain.
Oh, okay.
You think he's going to be
comeback?
In it?
He's going to make a huge comeback.
God, I like fucking hope so.
Yes.
God, that would be great.
And he's super realistically rendered, but still the same proportions.
That would be disturbing.
Yeah.
That would be uncanny.
A short guy with a head that's wider than he is tall.
Yeah, so I just thought that was
cool. That's neat. That's really neat.
So something big that came out today
Yeah. Black too?
That no, unfortunately.
Fuck.
Still waiting though. Yeah, but it does have to do with physics.
Okay.
Havoc. Phil, you know them from the times that you have accidentally hit a chair and then it kept going with you down a hallway and you couldn't shake it because of the physics attached to it. Havoc physics. They make, you know, they're the physics house of a lot of games.
Not PhysX.
Not PhysX. Not by
PhysX. Havoc, the developer.
No.
What?
They make they're a physics engine provider.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Like Unreal.
Okay. Unreal is they're a tool, a development tool, like SpeedTree.
Okay. Mortal Kombat X uses Havoc physics.
Okay. Yeah.
Dark Souls 2, Havoc physics. A bunch of games.
I remember what the logo looks like. Yeah. The
it's yellow.
Yeah, it's yellow.
So they were purchased.
Got a V in it.
They announced today that they were purchased by Microsoft from Intel.
Mm-hmm.
A report that I read said that they're still going to license Havoc out, which is cool. But it was purchased by Microsoft, which is interesting. Hmm. I wonder what their I feel like they.
Weird that it's still, they're still gonna. I guess just at some point, maybe it's just a money thing. It's like we want this money because a lot of people license Havoc, so let's buy it from them. It's just a business acquisition. To make money. Because if they're still licensing out, it's like, let's just make money on this.
So. Yeah. But I almost feel like that's weird for Microsoft to do. I almost wonder if they have, like, an idea behind it. Like, they're going to lend them out to a specific studio for a certain project or a certain
game.
Pray 2,
hopefully.
Oh, God, dude. Don't remind me how much. What's funny? I went back and watched the E3 footage from Pray 2 a couple of weeks ago, and it still looks like a game I want to play.
I
want to
play it. Phil, get it. For us, go into the deep net and buy it off of Silk Road.
I'll do just that. I'll get you guys some limbs.
Some limbs?
Some human limbs.
I want fucking Prey too.
And I'll bring Slender Man with me.
Oh, dude. Well, you can buy Slender Man on Silk Road.
Yeah.
You rent him out like a hitman.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
You just bring him up to like a party and he's like, hey!
What's up?
What up?
You want vodka?
I got Grey Goose.
I just can't wait to see like the sketch one day where Slender Man's like, let's get crunk.
Yep, me neither.
Well, I wanted to make you sweat on that one a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
That was funny, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good joke.
So, Phil, are you familiar with the Burnout series? Burnout Paradise.
Burnout Paradise, one of the best racing games ever.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
It's got a huge emphasis on crashing cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huge emphasis on
being a player. I think it was Burnout 3 player. On GameCube.
Burnout 3 was the
Burnout 3 Takedown, right?
Burnout 3 Takedown was the best. Yeah. Burnout 3 Takedown?
Was that what it was
Burnout
called?
Burnout 2 Takedown.
I thought it was
3. No, you're right. Point of, no, I don't know. Burnouts are awesome games. Burnout Paradise, amazing. Played hundreds of hours of that game, literally.
So that series was made by Criterion. A development studio that has now, I don't know if they're still around, but the main founders of Criterion have moved on to create a new studio for other projects. And they announced at some point this week that they are going to be creating, after they're working on a game right now, but after that they want to work on a spiritual successor to the Burnout games. So I thought that was cool.
Nice.
I fucking loved Burnout.
Dude.
3 and Paradise.
Dude. Yeah, did you ever play, like, Revenge or Dominator?
No, I
Four
don't.
Four and five?
Burnout 3 was the one I played the most.
3 was amazing.
Yeah.
3 was the one that Crash Mode was, like...
Was Burnout Paradise for hours. On 360 PS3? Which ones were on which generation?
So, 3 was the last one that was... And so, Revenge was a split gen. It was on PS2 and also 360 and PS3.
Gotcha.
And then Dominator, I think, was also that.
What about 3?
3 was only PS2 and GameCube and Xbox.
Yeah, I think 3 is the one that I played the most.
Well, 3 was the one. The first one where Crash Mode really became like a huge part of it.
Yeah.
And so. And that was the one that introduced like Aftertouch and stuff where you could steer your Crash carcass car.
God, I loved that.
Your carcass.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's a good one.
How about it, guys?
Hey. All right.
That was the best pun yet.
I got it in me.
Hop in your Hummer. The Punisher's ready.
God damn. Dead in the middle of Little Italy. Little did he know that he riddled some middlemen who didn't do diddly.
What do you think about that line?
More power to you.
Thanks, man. That's the shit. I wrote that.
Nice.
I didn't write that.
So I'm excited. I hope it's called something very similar to Burnout. I hope it's made on a good budget too. It's published by somebody big.
Blowout. Yeah, there we go. The Xbox Blowout. Game. Did you ever play Blowout?
I don't know.
Oh, Christ, dude.
What was it?
It was a Christmas present I got.
But I mean, what kind of game was it?
Just, it was a 2D shooter. Interesting. And God damn it, I didn't have the heart to tell my grandma it was the worst thing she'd ever done to me. She could have abandoned me.
You were the king. When we were kids, you were the king of having games like that I never would hear about until I'd see them at your house.
It's because you get them at Walmart in a fucking bin.
Yeah.
For like $2.
They're games that people just found on a file share somewhere and put them on a disc.
It's kind of scary, actually, when you think about it.
It is scary.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's how Herobrine happened.
Yeah, if you play Blowout backwards in a record player, it blows your house.
It's a Rolling Stones album.
Yeah. It's Sticky Fingers by the Rolling Stones. Well, guys, that's all the news. That's a wrap.
It's a rappity rap.
Thank you for listening, everybody. If you haven't already, like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/PixelChickenPodcast.
There's a lot to like.
Phil's got his art there. We do gangsta shit.
We post stuff.
Yeah, we post stuff. We want to do giveaways, but we don't have
We want to do giveaways, but no one will ever...
No one likes us.
...ask us for stuff.
We
have so much stuff.
We have stuff to give.
At one point, like, once upon a
time... Philip's got, like, three dachshunds.
That
he's sick of.
A blender.
A goddamn grandmother.
Yeah. Yeah, a grandmother.
You might win my grandmother. Dude, if you give us 500 likes.
Yeah, get us to 500 likes, you get Phil's grandma.
She can take care of herself too. That's the best.
Yeah,
part.
It's great. You just
how old's your grandma?
She's up there.
She looks great.
She's like 300.
She's in very good shape for her age.
She is.
Your grandma was always. I feel like I haven't seen your grandma in ages, and I feel like if I did, she'd be the same exact person.
I feel like
she is no different.
I feel like I would see her and be like, wow, she looks exactly
the
same.
Dude, Phil, why the fuck were you wearing saran wrap that time?
Oh, because. Remember that? Because I was so screwed up. It's like apparently.
I was fucked up. I kept looking at
me up, man.
Scat porn. I was screwed up.
No, I mean, I have to say, like, I was so sunburned so bad.
I kept watching those tapes of those Russian teenagers over and over again.
God damn, son.
Right.
God damn, son.
I'm afraid to let her drive too far away from the house by herself, but other than that...
Yeah, yes. It's all right. You'll send her via the Metal Gear Solid fast travel boxes.
Yeah, transfer her.
Yeah. So, also, follow us on Twitter. At @pixel_chicken.
That's us.
Send us your emails. Send Johnny hate mail.
Send Johnny hate mail. He's in, rest in peace. He got bombed.
Damn.
Yeah, he actually, the Yakuza cut his entire hand off.
Yeah, his entire hand off and then put it onto...
And sent it to the States.
All of them.
PixelChickenPodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
I gotta go piss.
I gotta go.
We're leaving that on. Okay, Phil.